I kind of had a choice at that point.
Not just being patient with the process, but being grateful with the process.
And I'm like, man, I went to my dad straight after the game. I'm like, yo, like this shit can't happen anymore, man. I always try to take the good out of any negative situation.
You know, I have players coming in, Xavier, and they'd be like, you know, I played so bad. You know, sometimes I'd be like, hey, bro, hey, I don't know, we can't do nothing about that. I can tell you what we can do, we can get some work in right now.
Like, if you're not doing plyometrics, you're losing out on a lot of potential for performance.
My dad had these tapes of the Laker game. I got to a point where I said, you know, I want to play basketball. And I just always wanted to make sure I had the edge over people.
It became a part of me, you know, I didn't want anybody to get to be better than me.
Welcome back to another episode of the Basketball and Barbells podcast. This is day 3 of 14 days of Christmas. So I appreciate everyone that's been listening, tagging along. I know, like I said, it had been a long time since I hopped back on a mic, but I definitely want to do this for everyone that had been a fan for at least the past year that I started this, and just going forward, just want to be more consistent. But today I want to touch on what I believe is the number one shooting secret for all hoopers. So I touched on this before, and I posted about this multiple times, but I felt like I had actually never, you know, actually made a podcast episode talking about this topic. So if anyone that's listening to this is a basketball player and they wanted their players, they wanted themselves to actually increase their three-point shooting percentage, sprint times, athletic performance, free throws, all that good stuff, the secret is not so much a secret. So the number one secret, in my opinion, for not only just shooting, but just athleticism overall, is getting higher quality sleep. And I actually have a study to back this up. So Stanford University actually did a study. They studied sleep deprivation across their entire athletic performance department. So every basketball team, every soccer team, all sports actually went through this study. But apparently only the basketball team actually found significant results because they are the only ones that actually completed the study. And this is over the course of about 2 years, two seasons. But they studied sleep deprivation. And what they did was they actually utilized extended sleep. So what that means is, you know, the athletes, specifically for the basketball team that we're talking about, they actually extended their sleep from whatever their normal was to a minimum of 10 hours per night. So whatever their bedtimes were, sleep wake times, they were extended to a minimum of 10 hours per night for their nocturnal sleep. So going to bed at night, they had to adjust whatever they had to adjust. They had to make sure they got at least bare minimum 10 hours of sleep. And as I said before, the basketball team is the only team, at least in this study, that finished the study and also found significant gains. So they tested a couple things. They tested sprint times. They tested free throw percentage, three-point percentage. And they also got ratings as far as, you know, game scores, how they felt they played, moods, all that good stuff. But today we're going to focus on just a couple different things. So what they found in the basketball team is after, you know, they actually tested and retested, they got baselines, they found that sprint times decreased on average across the entire team by almost a full second in baseline to baseline sprints. I believe the sprint times went from 16 to about 15 seconds. But I mean, as we all know, if we have a point guard, maybe they decrease their time by about 3 seconds. Maybe you have a center that decreased their time by about half a second, whatever the case is. So this is an average across the entire team. But you're going to have those outliers where maybe they decrease their sprint times by 3 or 4 seconds. And you're going to have the ones that maybe doesn't necessarily decrease at all. But across the entire team, that's pretty great, in my opinion. Free throw percentages actually increased from about 79% to about 89%. It's about 88%, so almost 10 percentage points. Again, this is across the entire basketball team, not one specific player. And three-point percentage increased by about 10% as well. So pretty safe to say that obviously, you know, we talked about this before, and this is not anything that's complicated, but getting higher quality sleep consistently leads to gains And then the subjects also reported that they had higher game and practice ratings as well. So we know, based off this study, and we know just through, you know, just anecdotal, just personal experience, that getting higher quality sleep, getting more sleep is going to lead to increased performance. But the thing is, I don't think enough people know what high quality sleep is. They just think, if I sleep for 8 hours, then I'm good to go, which is not the case. All right. So we'll touch on higher quality sleep, and then we'll talk about how we can get that higher quality sleep. So first up, what is high quality sleep? So as I touched on, it's not just the quantity of the hours, it's also the quality of the hours. So if you have someone, player A, who sleeps for 8 hours, right? Let's say he doesn't have a bedtime routine. He goes to bed whenever he feels like it. He always makes sure, though, he gets 8 hours. Maybe he's on his phone before, you know, he goes to bed. Maybe he eats before he goes to bed. And then you have player B, who has a bedtime, who consistently does not use any electronics before bed, or at least has blue light glasses, doesn't eat before bed, or at least an hour before bed, consistent sleep and wake times, and also gets 8 hours. Who do you think is going to have the superior performance? Just in regards to what we just talked about. So if you think they're going to be the same, then I understand where you're coming from, but that's not the case. And I'll talk about this. So player B, the player, even though they both get the same amount of hours of sleep, the quality matters, right? So it's the same thing in basketball. You can come up and you say, well, if I shoot a three, you know, all, you know, I shoot a three, but all threes are not created equal. Obviously, the corner is closer. That is why you have like the PJ Tuckers, you have Kelly Oubre's, the players that are money from the corner who may not be necessarily great three-point shooters, knocking down shots in those corners. Again, the quality of the three is different in that corner than it is the top of the key, right? It's the same thing when it comes to sleep, right? The quality of our sleep matters, and not necessarily just the hours. The hours matter, but they are not the end-all be-all. So let's talk about deep sleep and REM sleep, right? So this is not gonna be an in-depth conversation. Again, it's gonna be like 15 minutes, maybe 20, but we gotta understand what high-quality sleep is so we can get it. So deep sleep is basically the sleep where we recover physically. All right, so a lot of people think, and I think a lot of people understand, you know, they hear REM sleep, they hear all that stuff, but deep sleep is also important because deep sleep allows us, again, to physically recover. So this is after, let's say you have a hard day of training, let's say you have skills training, strength conditioning, performance training, whatever have you, and then you get home and it's time to recover from that. So as we know, especially in the middle of the season, especially even if you're just training in the off season, right, that recovery is very, very important, because if you gave 100% on Monday, but you don't recover for Tuesday, then you can't give 100%, right? You can only give 75, 80%. And now you're leaving money on the table, right? So if you're leaving money on the table, that's an opportunity for someone else to get ahead of you, as we all know. And in sports, every second, every day matters. So if we need to really focus on our recovery, and it's a race to see who can recover the fastest, then deep sleep is very important, because this allows us to physically recover and also make some gains on top of that. Now, REM sleep. Now, this is important. Everyone talks about this. This is where we mentally recover. So we physically recover in deep sleep. REM sleep, we mentally recover. This is where memories form, right? And this is where a lot of our motor learning actually happens. So we talk about skills training, right? You're learning a new move. You know, maybe it's the first time you ever done it. You go home. Let's say you don't get high quality sleep. Let's say you sleep for 6 hours. You're in and out of sleep. You can't stay asleep. And you get up, and all of a sudden, all those moves that you're working on, that new move that you perfected, you can't remember how to do it, or your body, for whatever reason, doesn't know how to perform it, right? That's because you didn't get high quality REM sleep, right? So the motor learning, the long-term memories did not form. So now, essentially, you had to relearn the move. And as we talked about, time is money, right? So if you're spending too much time trying to repeat and go over the same stuff, you're wasting your time, essentially, and then that's an opportunity for someone to get ahead of you. So REM sleep is important because this is where, again, we form long-term memories, motor learning happens. You don't want to waste all that time skills training, learning new moves, perfecting your craft, and it's not sticking, essentially. So these are two components of sleep. You still have your light sleep, you know, basically when you're not in deep sleep or REM sleep, you're just, you know, pretty much, you know, still your brain's a little bit more awake, things like that. But I didn't want to touch on that. Deep sleep, REM sleep, understand that. Now, last, before we move on, circadian rhythm. Circadian rhythm is your internal alarm clock. So basically, if I put you in a cave with no sunlight and it's just completely pitch black, your internal clock would basically say, well, I think it's about time to get up. So even though you have no windows to have no external cues like a sun, right? Like when we have the sunlight peeking through our blinds in the morning, we have our mom come in and wake us up, our alarms. If we had none of that and we're actually in a pitch black, nothing is in there, nothing to tell you what time it is, kind of cave, then your internal clock's actually going to tell you when it is time to wake up, when it's time to go to sleep, when it's time to eat, all that stuff. So your circadian rhythm, again, is that internal clock. So the problem with a lot of athletes is that they don't have the same sleep and wake times. So obviously we have external cues that we have, you know, again, like our mom waking us up, you know, alarm clock, all that stuff. But we have to do our best to keep it on the same time all the time. And because of this, you know, if our circadian rhythm is off, all right, we're not necessarily secreting melatonin, which helps keep us asleep at night, which throws off our sleep. Maybe you have a hard time going to sleep, or maybe you have a hard time staying asleep. This can be linked back to your circadian rhythm. So how do we work on keeping our circadian rhythm on time? Again, like I said, similar sleep and wake times all the time. So Monday through Friday, if you go to sleep at 9 p.m. and you wake up at 7, even on the weekends, I would try to keep it as close to sleep and wake times as possible. I know on the weekends, I mean, me included, that something that I'm working on is going to bed around the same time that you went to bed during the week. Because if you 5 days out the week, you're going to bed at 9, and then on the weekends, you're going to bed at 3, your circadian rhythm's all off. It's like, oh, I don't really know what time to go to bed. I don't really know what time to wake up. At that point, you're just kind of all over the place. Again, this affects, you know, our melatonin secretion. It's going to kind of affect basically like just our routines as far as getting ready to go to bed. So now our circadian rhythm's off, your internal alarm clock's off. So now you got to force yourself asleep. You got to force yourself to stay asleep or take supplements, which you shouldn't really necessarily take unless you have to. And now we're just all off. So we need to have the same, or at least close to the same, sleep and wake times as consistently as possible throughout the entire week. And that includes Sunday and Saturday. So if it's off, again, harder to fall asleep, harder to stay asleep. This effect, and in turn, this is going to affect, obviously, our REM and deep sleep, right? So now we can't remember anything. Now we're sore, we're tired when we shouldn't be, right? Again, we're losing that opportunity to get ahead. All right, so now that we touched on a couple things that really equate to higher quality sleep, I know you're asking, how can we get higher quality sleep, right? How can I get that deep sleep? How can I get that REM sleep? How can I get my circadian rhythm on point? And I'm glad you asked. So again, I talked about having the same sleep and wake times. But a simple way to do this is to have a bedtime routine. I know this is like 9 years old, and your mom, your dad tells you, or whoever tells you, hey, like, get into your routine, go to bed. But this can actually help, because when you have a routine, all right, it's almost like you're not necessarily leaving anything to chance. There's no variables that can throw you off, and it's preparing you for something. You have anyone that's listening to this as a basketball player, obviously you have a free throw routine. So if you have a free throw routine, what does that do? It prepares you to make the free throw. Some have more complicated ones. Some are longer. Some are shorter. It doesn't really matter, right? You have a free throw routine. Coaches tell you to have a routine. You don't just go up there and just do anything and shoot the ball. Same thing when it comes to your bedtime. Have a routine, all right? This helps you get to bed. And it also can help you with your circadian rhythm, because if you start going through your routine consistently, and by the time you start getting into your routine over time, then your body starts to realize, okay, it's time to wind down, right? Your heart rate slows, maybe brain activity slows, and this can actually help you get to sleep. So having a bedtime routine, really, really, really simple, but consistency is the major key behind that. No blue light, at least an hour before bed, ideally 2, maybe 3 hours, but This is in the form of laptops. This is in the form of phones, things like that. Making sure that we turn the brain off. So the problem with a lot of players, okay, well, I have a great bedtime. I go to sleep at the same time, blah, blah, blah. But I'm using my phone before bed, right? The problem with that is the blue light from your phone, as I mean, a lot of people know, it's the same type of light that comes from the sun. So essentially, like I talked about before, circadian rhythm, if you're looking outside and it's super sunny, right, it's waking your brain up. And it's like, oh, okay, it's time to be awake. When it's dark outside, you know, we typically start to get tired because we're not getting that blue light. It's another external cue. Okay, time to go to bed. So if you have that sunlight, basically you have the sun in your hand and you're looking at that before bed, well, what is that going to do, right? It's going to keep you up, but at least your brain. You may feel physically tired, but if your brain is still awake and you fall asleep and your brain is not falling asleep the same time as you, now there's a disconnect again, back to staying asleep, back to getting higher quality sleep. So if you just absolutely, for whatever reason, you cannot get off your phone, whatever the case is, blue light glasses are super cheap. I want to say they're probably maybe $20, depending on what brand you decide to go with. But I highly, highly, highly recommend these. I'm actually going to try and get some myself coming in, hopefully next week. Keeping the room temperature or keeping your environment constant. Obviously, we want to keep the room as dark as possible, as cool as possible. And this depends on everyone else. So some people, you know, and this, I'm not going to go too much into bed pressures and things like that, but just keeping the room constantly dark. You can buy a face mask if you, for whatever reason, you have a light coming in your room or something like that, or you share a room with a sibling, maybe buying earplugs if you share a room, if you want to quiet. There's other options like a chili pad, which helps keep your blanket cool if you can't keep your room cool. Different options, but basically want our room dark, quiet, and cool as possible. Keep our environment constantly kind of in that dark cave scenario. That is going to help us at least stay asleep, get to sleep, all that stuff. And then last but not least, if whatever all that fails, you have the break emergency type of deal where if not, we can just take naps, right? We may not have that option if we're in season, we're in school, things like that. Well, it's a little bit different because we're under quarantine, so you can be home, but naps are also a great thing. A quick 45 minute cat nap can do you some good. But that is, you know, in my opinion, the last straw, just in case. But more so for student athletes, just because I know that the lifestyle you guys live is pretty crazy. So naps, still a good thing to go to. All right, guys, to wrap all that stuff up, basically sleep is a major key. It can help you, in this, at least in regards to the Stanford study, can help you increase your free throw, 3-point percentage, and decrease sprint times. It's not just the quantity of the hours, it's the quality. Little things swing big doors, little hinges swing big doors, keeping the same sleep and wake times, keeping your circadian rhythm on point, focusing on keeping your environment, keeping a bedtime routine. All these little things add up over time. But if you want to learn more, I can provide some more links to getting into some higher quality sleep. And if you have questions, always feel free to reach out to me. All my information is in the show notes, so you can reach out to me whatever way you can. I appreciate you guys for tuning in to today's episode. Day 4 is coming out tomorrow. We got about another 10 days before we actually get to the promised land. But again, I appreciate you guys for tuning in. Go be great. This episode is brought to you by Whoop. Whoop is the only 24/7 wearable technology that measures the everyday stressors both inside and outside of work and training. Whoop measures the physiological data related to sleep, including the quality, duration, and consistency of sleep, strain, which is the internal load from external stress, and recovery, which is the readiness to perform. Whoop uses these three key metrics to call out areas for improvements and reinforce positive habits. If you're looking to join the team, use my discount code BBALL at checkout, or just click the link in my description to get a free 30-day trial with Whoop. Come join the team. Let's level up together. Thank you for listening to the Basketball and Barbells podcast. I really hope you all got major value from today's episode. Please leave a rating and review of the show, and don't forget to tune into the next episode.